You're listening to Marriage Minute with Pastors Richard and Donna Spears, impacting marriages that leave a lasting legacy.
Well, good morning, and welcome to Marriage Minute with Pastors Richard and Donna Spears.
It's us.
My lovely wife. Yeah.
Thanks for joining us.
We're back. Thanks for joining us again. Hey, one of the things we want to remind you guys of is please like and share the broadcast because we want to help as many marriages as possible. God's brought us through so many things.
Yeah,
it's our heart.
God has helped us in so many ways. needlessly.
Exactly. Why suffer needlessly when you can actually tune in and receive some biblical teaching and some grounding for your marriage so that you can be successful and flourish in your life and your marriage. That's what we want for you. That's our desire. That's our heart for you.
It's our heart for our children and their children.
So, you know, watch us live, obviously, on YouTube, Facebook. You can watch us live from the Revival Now app. You can watch us live from our website at revivalnow.com. And you can also watch us live from our recently added Revival Now TV. I can't get it out of my mouth today. Mm-hmm. Revival Now TV, that's on Roku and also Apple TV. So you can watch us from your television as well. So lots of opportunities to watch us and take in content live and even on demand. So, hey, today we're talking about
continuing.
We're continuing on what we've covered the last couple of weeks. But what effect will your marriage have on the generations? That's the question. Mm-hmm. And that's really the title of our message and teaching today. What is that going to look like? What effect? Like we said, the last couple of weeks, we've talked about, you know, just generational things, things that we may have learned from our parents, that did issues from our parents come into our marriage. Mm-hmm. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago. Then last week, we talked about inner vows and how that came about and how we can actually break those things off of our life. What we want you to consider along with that and the ramifications or the impact that can have is there's a generational impact. There's generational blessing that God wants for you and I as his children, but we have to continue that. There's a choice that we have to make in order to see generational blessing not only come about in our life, to manifest in our life, but also we want that to manifest in our children and our grandchildren's life. So this is a generational thing that we're talking about.
Yeah, and you know, don't be fooled because you're going to leave an impact. You're going to leave an imprint. You're going to leave something to your children generationally and their children. And why don't we leave something that's good and positive and life-giving and fruitful instead of all the negative stuff?
Yeah, there's a couple ways you can look at your life. When you think about this from the generational standpoint, your life can either be a stepping stone for your family for increase and going higher, or you could be a stumbling block that causes struggles in your life. And I know the position that Don and I have taken in our life and marriage as God was bringing us through challenging times in our life and marriage. I don't want to be a stumbling block for my children or my grandchildren. I don't want them to not succeed because of me. I want them to succeed because of me.
We want that. We want so much better for our kids and their kids.
Yeah.
We want so much better for them and earlier.
So we have to break the cycle. We can't allow the cycle to continue. So, you know, it's going to sound a little bit like, you know, negative today. Maybe it's not our intention, but it's we want to talk about what reality is. God helps us overcome everything, but you still have to make a choice. Choose life.
Yes.
Choose to have the abundance. Choose to have generational blessing, not only for yourself, but also for your children and your grandchildren.
That's right, like we've been saying. So we're taking this teaching today from Genesis 1, 27 and 28. I'm going to read that. I'm going to grab your Bible
here.
Do you have it all called up for me?
Should be.
27. So God created human beings in his own image. The image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and govern it. Reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and all the animals that scurry along the ground. So what do we take from the scripture?
Yeah.
He didn't just want to bless Adam and Eve, because that he did. They're his children. He loves them unconditionally. He loves them so much. And he wanted to bless them. But he was talking about generations to come. Be fruitful and multiply. So if he just wanted to bless Adam and Eve,
right,
he wouldn't have said, he would have been like, here's your gift. Here you go. You know,
it's all
about you guys.
Don't worry about the generations that come after you.
Exactly. But no, that's not what he was saying here. He was saying, be fruitful and multiply.
Yes.
And we take from that scripture that he's talking about generations to generations. Mm-hmm. He was looking through them to their children and to their children and to their children to the end, even to us, mm-hmm. I would say.
Which, you know, it just came to me, but hadn't thought about this before, but it came to me like there's a responsibility then, mm-hmm. right? So, right. Which is what we're saying. Yes, it's not just for you, it's for the generation. So you have to take responsibility in your generation.
That's right.
So that the next generations can actually succeed.
That's right.
So it's
That's
all right. about personal responsibility and personal choice.
That's right.
At the end of the day.
So what? One thing that Adam and Eve did not realize, and maybe they did and didn't care, we don't know.
Yeah.
But what they didn't realize, we'll just say, is that they could lose the blessing. And that's exactly what they did.
That's exactly what they did.
And why? Yeah.
So how do they do that?
So what? It's so like, I would say, an example of us today, not you and me in particular, yeah, sure. but people and marriages, is that somebody blesses us, right? And we automatically are like, oh, thank you so much. We needed this. This is awesome. I love you for that. Thank you. You just don't know what a blessing you are to us and blah, blah, blah. But what they don't realize is, and what Adam and Eve didn't realize, is God wants to get it to you. So he can get it through you.
Yeah.
And so every blessing that comes from the Lord, every overflow, abundance, infilling, all of that, it's not just for you. And so Adam and Eve had kind of they had a selfish mindset.
Yeah.
And they were just thinking of me and mine and not ours. And so God was trying to bless them to get it through them to the generations to come.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, so when Satan came and tempted them, and he said, when you eat the forbidden fruit, you will be like God.
Yeah.
So that's talking to the prideful part of Adam and Eve. Mm-hmm. That is the
pride of life.
The pride of life, the Bible talks exactly.
About that, the pride of life, the desires of the eyes, the lust of the flesh.
And it was...
They felt into that trap.
Yeah, as we do. And it was at that moment... Mm-hmm. That they decided that it's all about us. Mm-hmm. It's all about me, right?
Yeah.
It's the here and now. I'm not looking to generations to come. I'm not looking to my kids or their kids or their kids. It's all about me and what God is trying to get to me.
Yeah.
So
like you said, it's a selfish mindset, and they didn't realize this, as you were saying, but mm-hmm. they wanted the blessing just for their generation, mm-hmm. just
Amen.
For them.
Amen.
It was all about me. That's it's all right. about us.
That's right.
And so, you know, when Adam and Eve fell, and you'll see that in Genesis chapter 3, we won't go there and read that, but you can read that for yourself. When you look at the fall that happened in Genesis 3, and then if you move on over to Genesis chapter 6, you can see the result of that decision that they made. Mm-hmm. So when you read chapter 6, the very beginning of verse 1 through, I don't know, verse 7 or 8, you're going to see, and maybe longer, but anyway, you're going to see there that all that God was able to see as a result of their decision was evil, was corruption. That's all that man mm-hmm. was able to do, was evil and corruption upon the earth. And so it came to a place where God said, I'm disappointed. My heart hurts.
Yeah.
For seeing what mankind has become. And he was so saddened by that, he regretted that he even made mankind. He created mankind. Mm-hmm. And so, you know...
That's just heartbreaking.
It's heartbreaking that God felt that way at one time in history, that he was just so sad. But God always has an answer. Mm-hmm. He's always got the solution.
Oh, yeah.
Praise the Lord. Yeah. You know, reconciliation is his.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so we praise God for that. He always... He's always pursuing, mm-hmm. right? He always mm-hmm. wants that relationship. He loves us so much.
Restoration.
He didn't
redemption.
Leave it there. That's he right. had a That's plan right. of redemption
thank you, Lord.
For us and for everyone mercies. For all time.
Amen.
And so we thank God for
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
So here's the thing, you know, God, you know, regretted creating mankind. I mean, but he had an answer, he had a solution. But when you play this toward, or you look at this toward marriage, this is exactly the way things is going to, it will turn out in your marriage if you look at it from a single generation perspective.
Mm-hmm.
If you only think about you, you know, Don and I only think about us. It's all, it's just
here
about
now,
us and the here and now.
It, yeah.
I've got to get mine. As long as I'm happy and I'm satisfied, I really don't care about my children or my grandchildren and what may happen to them or what they may fall into.
Right.
It doesn't matter.
As even though,
as
even
satisfied.
Though you're still impacting them,
mm-hmm.
you're not having a thought towards it, but what you do and the actions you take are still impacting.
You're still teaching.
You're still teaching.
You're still sowing seeds,
mm-hmm.
right? You're
positive
still sowing
or negative.
Seeds of love or discouragement, doubt, whatever those
yeah.
seeds are that you sow in your life,
yeah.
they're still going to manifest in your children. So you want to sow godly things,
mm-hmm.
obviously, right? You want the generational blessing not only to come onto you, but you want it to come onto your children.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to break these cycles
mm-hmm.
of our past that
mm-hmm.
we talked about last week.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, this life is not about us, right? There's got to be some understanding.
It's really
of,
never about us.
It's never about us. It is about us because God wants us to be
yeah.
blessed. But he also wants us to take that blessing and to teach our children. You know, he had a conversation with Abraham and he knew, I'm not remembering the exact scripture, but it's in Genesis with the story of Abraham. God knew that Abraham was going to raise up godly children.
Mm-hmm.
And when he spoke to Abraham and to Sarah, he said, look, I'm going to change your name from exalted father to father of many nations. He said, there's going to be nations and kings that come from you,
mm-hmm.
right? And so there you go again. Not only, I'm thinking of our...
Just continue.
I'm thinking of our grandsons who we just saw this past week. He said, there you go, Papaw. There you go. But anyway, so there you go.
There you go.
Abraham, not only was it shown in Adam and Eve
mm-hmm.
and the personal responsibility, but also within in our father Abraham, the mm-hmm. father of righteousness, the one that believed God and what he said.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing goes for us. So
mm-hmm.
we can't just do that. So let me tell you a quick story about my mother just passed recently. We had her funeral this summer. And, you know, while we're there, of course, you see a lot of family. And so my cousin and I were standing there and we were talking. And we were just talking about our family and how amazing our family is, just the generations that came before us. And if I cry, you're going to have to take over because it just...
That's your story.
It's my story. Okay. Then you're just going to have to wait on me.
Get it together, dude. Come
I have on. To pull myself
no,
together even before I say it. But he said, he goes, you know, Richard, how blessed are we to be a part of this family? And I said, you're right. We are blessed. You know, we not everybody gets the same opportunity in life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't choose our parents. We don't choose our circumstances. But what I can say is that the generation, my mother and father, their brothers and sisters, and even my grandparents, they made right decisions as it relates to God,
mm-hmm.
as it relates to morality, as it relates to a lot of things, you know, work ethic, whatever. There was so much, there's not that there wasn't any negative as a result
right.
of their life,
right.
but the seeds that they sown into our lives, the positivity, the biblical understanding that we received from them, the teaching that we received of them was grounded in the Bible and their faith in God. And so we get to, and that's what I spoke at the funeral, and this is what I said to my aunts and uncles that were still alive, that were, you know, of my mother's family. I said, we get to stand on your shoulders
mm-hmm.
for what decisions you made.
I think the awesome thing about your family, not that they didn't have their negatives, obviously.
Oh, sure.
You know, every family
every
does.
Every family does.
But they were, their heart was really for family.
Mm-hmm.
But their heart was, mm-hmm. and every one of them, even on your dad's side, was to teach the next generation.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they were continually teaching you guys. Like, they never, you know, there was yeah. always a teaching moment. In everything, regardless. And that's something that you really don't see a lot of. At least I didn't see a lot of.
Yeah.
So yeah,
your dad was a good teacher. Mm-hmm. I mean, I learned a lot from your dad, you know, whether it be cars or it was construction projects and things like that. Your dad would teach in different areas like that. So, you know, I learned a lot from your father.
Yeah. So what are we saying? We're saying you learn from your family, whether it's positive or negative. There's family values that are instilled in you, whether it's positive or negative.
That's true.
So some family values, let's just say, I don't know that I'm going to run through some of mine and we'll talk about yours. But just say like social status for some families is important. Some families, money is everything because they grew up poor and they, you know, now they chase the money kind of thing. So those are kind of family values that can get passed down, positive or negative. So what are some of your family values?
Well, I mentioned it already just a little bit ago, but like strong work ethic was something I learned from my parents. I mean, they were always hardworking people. They lived during the Depression. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they had a family farm. They had to raise their own food. They just were working people, and they still are to this day. I mean, if my mom were living, she would love to be doing something working-wise. But, you know, so that's the positive thing that I can take away from, you know, that family value that was shared with me and taught. But the negative thing that I would hear, and it only occurred to me as I've become, you know, more mature as an adult and started to see these things and start to reflect upon them. But the negative side of that is that they were always talking about what they were going to do. And what I began to see is that they got their value out of what they did.
Mm-hmm. That's very true. So that's an example of a negative.
That's the negative side of that.
Yeah.
So, you know, if I see myself as valuable as long as I'm doing something or I'm working and I'm producing or whatever, which we should do that. I'm not saying we shouldn't do that. Mm-hmm. But the negative side of that is the mindset that I'm not valuable if I'm not doing something, if I'm not working.
Yeah.
So if I'm not telling you about what I did today and what I got accomplished and I'm not one-upping you.
And I'm not just about to get ready to go do something.
Yeah. Then, you know, I'm not valuable, but my value doesn't come from my work.
Right.
Our value comes from Christ. And so that's what makes me valuable.
Mm-hmm.
I work because of what Christ did for me.
That's right.
You know,
that's right.
And I make those sacrifices. So that's one thing. And so then if I have that same value system, if you will, good and bad, but if I take the negative and I teach that to my children, then my children are going to get a value system based upon work.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not where their value system should come.
Right.
It should come from the fact that they are a child of God. That's the most important thing. Yes, we're going to produce. We're going to work. We're going to put our hand to things. And we're going to do a good job and be respectable and have integrity in what we do. Of course, those are all things that are good and positive. But we can't get our value out of working for something.
Exactly. So your next second example for a family value.
Yeah, so family first. the good side of that is that family was always important. Mm-hmm. I know my mom and dad.
And you knew that when you were around.
Oh,
them.
We knew that.
Absolutely.
Because my mom and dad made an intentional effort to make sure that we visited aunts and uncles and cousins and other relatives, grandma and grandpas. We went and visited, whether we were driving to Kentucky. We live in the state of Ohio, for those of you not, you know, local to our area, but we lived in the state of Ohio, so we would drive to Kentucky or West Virginia, different places within Ohio that family lived. And we made sure, my mom and dad made sure that we went and visited family because family was important. It was a priority. And so that was a great family value that we learned because we want to make sure that our kids understand that as well. Family is important. Now, the negative side of that is the mindset was, well, family's always first, regardless. So it comes above everything. Mm-hmm. So in a sense, it becomes an idol.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, you know, if we were doing something that was church-related at the time, I know when we first, you know, got saved back in our 30s, 2001, and we started pursuing God and everything God had for us, our family kind of frowned on that. My family kind of frowned on that. Like, why are you putting church? I mean, why isn't your family coming first? So at that point now, family first became the negative because now we were lifting church, which I'm going to put God's first, then mm-hmm. my wife, then mm-hmm. my family, immediate family, then my extended family. That's just how the order is. And so, but that was getting out of order from the viewpoint of what my family values
right.
were.
Right.
And so that became challenged. And so I'd have to defend myself constantly against
that.
And
they really didn't understand it. Like, even though you would explain it, there was just a judgment and there was just a, you know,
there was a negativity.
Weren't having it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I wanted to read this scripture.
Sure.
It just came to me when Jesus was responding to this. And so Jesus was doing some teaching with a crowd, and his mother and his brothers came and stood outside where he was teaching. So this is from Matthew chapter 12, verses 46 through 50. It says, as Jesus was speaking to the crowd, his mother and brothers stood outside asking to speak to him. Someone told Jesus, your mother and your brothers are standing outside and they want to speak to you. Mm-hmm. Jesus asked, who is my mother? Who are my brothers? Then he pointed to his disciples and said, look, these are my mother and brothers. Anyone who does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister Amen. And mother. And so it's not that we were trying to, you know, not say family wasn't important,
right. Right.
but we were getting in right position with the Lord. And we were seeking after him. We were seeking after his righteousness and his kingdom with all that we knew and all that we understood. And so, but again, the negative side of that was our family initially didn't yeah. see it the same way yeah. as we did. And so that's when you kind of get into a bit of a struggle with that. But we don't want that continue on to the generations with our kids.
Exactly.
We want family to be important, but we don't right. want it to be the idol above God.
Exactly.
Either.
Exactly.
So how about yourself?
So I won't go into that for time's sake. But so what is your value system? What is the family values that you are holding on to that you, mm-hmm. if you think about it, because it isn't about all about us, what are you passing down to your children and to their children? Right. Because as we just said, positive things, positive family values, those are great things to pass along.
Mm-hmm.
But we also unknowingly are passing along negative family values.
Right.
And this isn't, you know, oh, shame on my mom and dad or shame on your mom and dad kind of a thing. It's just now we're made aware of it, right? And so you have to recognize and understand what you're passing down. We've said this from the very first episode that we've ever done for Marriage Minute.
Right.
You know, you're leaving a legacy of something. What is that? It's either positive or it's a negative thing.
That's right.
But you know what? Here's the thing that you need to remember is that God is above all that.
Yes.
God is the final say. His word is the final say, and he has an answer for every single thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, you've kind of said it, but so what's the purpose for this? Well, let me just say this. Maybe there's been some negative family values that have been passed down to you, and you're beginning to realize what those things are.
Mm-hmm.
As you said, God's bigger than all of that. And he's going to raise you up. You're going to break these things from your past and these negative family cycles, if you will, and you're not going to carry that on to your children in Jesus' name. You're just Amen. Not going to carry it.
Amen.
And I want you to be a champion for that. I want you to believe that God is for you. He's not against you. He's going to help you overcome these things, and he's not going to leave you stranded. He's not going to leave you as an orphan so that you have to figure these things out on your own. No, he's got the Holy Spirit to help counsel you and to teach you and to guide you through all of these things. And he's going to bring deliverance and breakthrough in your life in Jesus' name. So the purpose for this teaching is to get you to think.
Amen.
Maybe you haven't thought about these things before. You know, maybe it's not even been on your radar or your awareness to say, you know, what have been my family values? I mean, when we talked about it ourselves, we're like, I got to think about this a little bit. What are some of the things that I learned from my family growing up?
Yeah. That's hard.
Good and bad.
Yeah. It's hard to pinpoint, you know, sometimes.
It is. Yeah. So, you know, at the end of the day, you want to understand what the generational effects of your behavior will have upon mm-hmm. your children and your grandchildren.
That's
I don't
right.
want my children and my grandchildren to not prosper because of me, not to be successful because of me
That's
in
right.
their life and in their marriage.
That's
I
right.
want them to be successful because of the changes and the desire in my heart to see these cycles broken so that they can flourish in their life. I don't
Amen.
Want them to start where I started.
Amen. Exactly.
I want them to start at a higher place.
We want to give them every advantage that we possibly can.
Absolutely. So here's the questions you need to ask yourself. Will your children have to recover from you? That's one question. Or will your children be blessed because of you?
That's
huge. And that's a choice. Yeah. Both of those are choices, right? And if you make no choice at all, you might say, I'm not going to choose. Well, you're still making a choice.
You're
still making a choice, but you have to choose. God said, choose life. Choose it today.
Amen.
You can choose life. I'm not going to tell you it's easy. I'd be lying to you to say that it's easy. Sometimes it's hard to break these things. Nothing's too hard for God.
That's right.
When he's on your side.
That's right.
But I'm saying when you go through these mental exercises and you understand these things, you have to break mindsets. But you have to renew your mind by the word of God and what he says. And when you do that, you're going to be successful and free in your own life. And you're going to receive the generational blessings that was intended for you all along. And that's going to carry into your children
Amen.
And your grandchildren.
Amen.
Yes.
So, you know, we know that some of you are, you come from dysfunctional families. I think a lot of people do. I mean, it just is what it is.
Everybody has that.
To number one, be aware that you had a dysfunctional family mm-hmm. and are operating in dysfunction currently in your own family is an awareness. It's a tough, little jagged pill to swallow, and it takes humility. To really
strip
everything down and say, okay, what I'm doing is not right.
Yeah.
What my parents did, I'm doing what they did. They were just doing the best that they could. You're doing the best that you can. If you came from a dysfunctional family, as many of us do, mm-hmm. and we've talked about this over the last couple of weeks, continue to fight for God's best in your life. Continue to seek him out, seek his word out, and he will change it. Don't stop fighting for your marriage. Don't stop fighting for your family. Don't stop fighting for generations to come.
That's
Amen.
Right. Amen.
Some of you came out of awesome homes, godly homes, you know, hallelujah. We say
yeah.
praise God for that. You know, your parents prayed for you, prayed over you. You knew about the Bible. You were taught things of the Bible and you came out of godly homes.
Right.
You have been so blessed in that. And so we say, thank you, Jesus, and praise God, and hallelujah. But be vigilant and impart those things to your children. Don't just let it stop with you. You can look at your life and see the blessing that have flowed down from generation to generation because your parents did it right. You know, continue that. Mm-hmm. Continue to impart those things into your children.
Yeah.
And their children and continue to let the blessings flow.
Yeah.
And when that happens, each generation is lifted higher and higher and higher.
Exactly.
Amen.
That's what we want. We want to go from glory to glory.
Amen.
We want our children to go from mountaintop to mountaintop. We don't want them to sink into valleys that are destructive in whatever ways that can look like, you know, from drugs to alcohol to whatever, sexual perversion. There's a lot of valleys. But if you teach your children the way they should go, as the Bible talks about, godly ways, godly values, there's nothing but success.
Yeah. And if you're listening,
you won't fail if you're following what God wants you to do.
If you're listening to this broadcast, either now or on demand, and you're like, well, it's a marriage minute. I need to get a quick fix for my marriage. It's not going to work that way.
That's a good point.
If you're currently in a marriage where you're like, I am just searching and searching for please help my marriage or marriage troubles or whatever. If you aren't sitting in church regularly, if you haven't given your life to Jesus, if you aren't aware that you're part of the problem, not just your spouse, if you are walking around and in a prideful way and not really understanding the impact that you have put, that you have bred into your marriage and into your children, you know, then it's not going to get any better for you. You have to be... You have to recognize that there are issues and you have to understand that you're part of the problem. I was part of the problem. He
was part
of the
problem.
It's not to say that you're a bad person or that, you know, you're any less loved by God. That's not it at all. So just get that out of your mind. Stop making it all about you and trying to defend yourself. And because when we get in a defensive mode, we're not teachable. We won't take responsibility because now it's all your fault. This is why we're here. And so if you want change in your marriage, if you want God to bless your marriage, you have to humble yourself and you have to understand and allow God to strip those layers off of you like I said, get in church, because without God, there's no way your marriage is going to succeed. Period.
Not in the way that God has.
No.
God has a very best for you. Mm-hmm. And yeah, you may have some success from a worldly viewpoint. I'm not going to say that you're not going to, but God has something even greater than that for you.
Amen.
And to be used by God in the way that he wants to, because your life has been uniquely planned out by God. You don't get to see the whole story. You don't get to see the book that he's written about you. But he does have a specific plan. And that plan is exciting. It's wonderful. It's beyond your imagination. and it is great. And so don't settle for something less than.
That's
and
right.
Don't allow your children through you to settle for something less than what God's best is for them.
That's right.
That should be your battle cry in life.
Amen.
You should say, enough is enough. I'm not going to let my stinking thinking. I've come to realize I have some family values that have really been creating some negativity in my family and in my marriage. I don't want that to continue anymore. I'm going to break the cycle. I have the power. God has given me the power. And the power comes, as you've already said, honey, is to have a saving relationship with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That is the starting place. And when you have Jesus Christ in your life, you are empowered by the Spirit of God to be victorious.
Yes.
The battles have already been won. You just have to enforce that now, understanding the Word of God, what you have as a child of God, and you enforce that victory. It's already won for you. You can have it.
Amen.
It's yours.
Amen.
You're not defeated. You're an overcomer in Jesus' name.
Yes.
That's it.
Yeah, that's
the
it.
Battle's over. You have the authority in Christ. When you give your life to Christ, you have the authority. You are the commander of your life. in that regard, I'm not to say that Jesus isn't the Lord of your life. I'm just saying you have a certain responsibility and authority to bring about change in your life. You can.
Yeah.
Amen. You have to believe what God's word says for your life, and it will happen in Jesus' name.
I'm going to have you pray, because you're very passionate about that.
All right, we're praying. So let's pray for everybody out there. Thanks again for watching.
Yes.
Please like and share the broadcast. We know it's going to help people out there. We know it's going to help marriages. We want marriages to be successful, and we want to see generations blessed, including yours, in Jesus' name. So, Father, we just thank you for everyone watching today, live and on demand. We thank you, Father God, that your desire and your will is to pour out your blessing on your children.
Hallelujah.
I thank you for any of those out there today that have not given their life to Christ, that they would do so today.
Yes.
They would do so today. It's a very simple prayer. Just say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I know that I'm a sinner. Please forgive me of my sin and the wrong that I've done in my life. Forgive me, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for coming, leaving your heavenly home and dying in my place and taking all my sin upon your body on the cross for me. Thank you for shedding your blood for me. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you that you rose again from the grave. And now you're sitting at the right hand of the Father, interceding on my behalf. Thank you for doing all those things. I put my faith and my trust in you. I call you now the Lord of my life. And I thank you for receiving me as one of your own.
Thank you, Jesus.
I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Father, bless each and every marriage. Bless even the ones that have given their life to Christ today, because today is the day of salvation. And we thank you, Lord, that you're going to complete the work that you've started in each and every one.
Yes, Jesus.
I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, God bless you. We love you so much. We'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening today. Catch all of our podcasts at revivalnow.com and send us your Marriage Minute questions at marriagemin@revivalnow.com.